Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as we were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24, 36 and 37. Hi, I'm Rob West. Jesus made it clear that no one on earth knows the day or the hour of his return, yet we're to live as if he's coming back tomorrow. Does that mean we don't need to plan for the future? Mark Biller weighs in on this issue today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Mark Biller is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. We always look forward to having Mark on the program, and today we're going to be talking about end times. Well, sort of. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back.
Mark, you know, the Apostle Peter also said that no one knows when Jesus will return. Let me read 2 Peter 3:10. It says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." But until then, Mark, what should we be doing as Christ followers?
Yeah, Rob. Well, there are at least two very important things. I'm sure there are more, but we'll focus on two today.
All right.
First of all, we should be anticipating the Lord's return. That's clear from these scriptures that you started us off with. But at the same time, when it comes to money, we need to stay busy managing that as good stewards. And that might sound like common sense to a lot of your listeners, but a number of years ago, we realized that not everyone agrees with that second point. So at the time, SMI was in the middle of a marketing campaign, and we had sent several thousand letters to Christians explaining how SMI could help them create a personalized financial plan based on biblical principles.
Yeah.
We added several hundred new subscribers through that campaign, which was great. But one man returned our order card with a message that he wrote in bold red ink. And on
okay.
the card, he wrote, quote, "The end times are at hand, and you want me to set up a plan?" Now, you have to love the heart behind
sure.
that sentiment. You know, we agree that we should live in a constant state of preparedness for our Lord's return, and we're excited about that as well. But until he does return, we don't feel like that's an either-or choice.
Yeah.
And so while we live in anticipation of the Lord's return, we need to manage the resources that are entrusted to us according to biblical principles as best we can.
I think that's well said. Now, planning for the future, of course, involves finances and in many respects. So take us into God's Word. Where can we be reassured that our planning is, in fact, necessary?
Yeah, well, one of the key verses is Proverbs 21:5 that says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." And another one we can look at is Proverbs 22:3. "A prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." But it's important to also recognize that the Bible makes it very clear that it's not just us setting up whatever plans we want and asking God to bless those. We need to ask God to guide us in this process and then trust him with the results. A couple scriptures to make that point. We'd go to Proverbs 16:3, which says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." And
yeah.
then Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails."
Yeah. So we need to live in this tension, right, Mark, that we're to have our eyes fixed on the eternal. We should live as if the Lord's return is imminent. But while we're here, clearly he is not done with us, and therefore we need to be good stewards, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the Bible's full of scriptures that confirm this. We've just kind of scraped the tip of the iceberg, Rob, but
yeah.
You know, as our mutual friend Howard Dayton used to say, there are like 2,300 Bible verses that talk about finances. And so there's a wealth of material there. Very clear the Lord was trying to communicate both literally and through kind of the metaphor of money about how we need to live as Christians.
Well, we'll continue to unpack this. How shall we live? Right around the corner. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What's the best reward you've ever received? A scholarship, a medal, a certificate? Whatever it was probably related to something you did. But did you know the Lord calls Himself our reward? Genesis 15, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Now, how could God call Himself Abram's reward? Abram didn't do anything to earn it. And that's exactly the point. It's yet another example of God's abundant grace. We did not do a thing, and yet He presents Himself to us as the greatest treasure of infinite value. Get more daily encouragement from Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org and listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, helping you live with the understanding that God is your ultimate treasure. Today, we're talking with our good friend Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, about planning for, waiting for, anticipating the return of Jesus, but still leaning into our stewardship responsibilities while we wait, because clearly he has us here on assignment. If you'd like to learn more about Sound Mind Investing, you can do that at soundmindinvesting.org. While Mark is with us, we always love taking your calls specifically on the markets. How do you navigate this market? You know, we had some pressure on the market a few weeks ago. It seems like the market has taken and shaken that off in light of this more recent economic data around the dip in inflation below 3%. Does that all but confirm the Fed's rate cut? And is that why the market is up at or near all-time highs? Well, let's talk about it as it relates to your portfolio. You can call right now. now, 800-525-7000. Your retirement and investing related questions for Mark Biller, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Mark, my friend, Dr. Ken Boa, talks about, you know, our role as stewards. Once we surrender our lives to Jesus, we're stewards of not only our time and our talent and our treasure, but he says we're stewards of truth and relationship. So stewardship is a hallmark of the believer, but clearly, to what we were sharing earlier, finances is one big part of that. And we're called, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, to be found faithful as a steward. So talk to us about how we need to think about financial planning in light of stewardship.
Yeah, so, you know, planning at its most basic, Rob, is being intentional. It's being proactive instead of reactive. And that's how stewards are supposed to operate. I find it really interesting that John MacArthur, in his book, The Second Coming, back to our original point, talking about the return of Christ, but then transitioning over to this idea of stewardship, John MacArthur unpacks the parable of the talents in that book, The Second Coming, and he breaks it into three parts. He talks about the responsibility we receive, the reaction we have, and the reckoning that we'll face. And what he says is, as for the responsibility that we receive, the servants in the parable of the talents, they're entrusted with the responsibility to manage the master's wealth, not just hold it until he returns. They're empowered to act on his behalf, to do productive things with what had been entrusted to them, and they were expected to do that. In terms of the reaction that we have in the parable, two of the servants were faithful. They embraced the responsibility they'd been given, and out of their desire to serve the master, they invested productively, they generated a good return. But then we see the third servant. He was fearful, and he just hid the master's resources until the master returned. And then the last point MacArthur makes there is the reckoning that we'll face. We're all familiar with it. When the master returns, the three servants were required to give an account of what they'd done with what was entrusted to them. The two that were faithful were told, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Of course, that's what we're all hoping to hear at the end of our lives. And that was because they had made the most of their opportunity to serve the master, and the master then rewarded them with the opportunity to manage even more of his resources. But then the master called the unfaithful servant wicked and lazy and said the servant should have at the very least put the money in the bank where it could have earned some interest. So an interesting thing that MacArthur also is looking at this the same way we are today, that in looking towards the Lord's return, there's this faithfulness and stewardship element while we wait.
Mm. Yeah, that's really helpful, and I think just gives us some real clear handles to think about in this role of stewardship. So I guess the bottom line, Mark, is that we're to live like Jesus is returning today, but we plan to be here for a long time. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, Rob. You know, the good steward is looking forward to the return of the master. It's not that we're ignoring that by any means. It's just that as we wait, we want to make sure we follow the master's instructions to be productive with the resources that he's put into our hands and make the most of those until he comes back.
Yeah, very good. By the way, we are taking your questions here today for Mark Biller in this portion of the broadcast. If you want to talk about your investment strategy, your portfolio, and how you need to think about navigating this market, give us a call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. All right, Mark, let's get a bit more even practical about what this stewardship looks like in the context of financial planning. What would you share with our listeners about where they go from here?
Yeah, sure. Well, in terms of, you know, day-to-day money management, using a budget is a huge help to most people. It's probably the most basic but most important tool that most people have in their financial toolbox. You know, a budget's going to help you to be intentional in how you allocate your income across your various priorities, which we'll, include generosity, saving, investing, and spending. Then as we kind of transition to what we think of as like retirement planning, planning for your later years, you know, SMI has several tools on our website that can help people build an investment plan that's either focused around a particular retirement date. We also have some tools that can help them with an estimated retirement budget. Those are a couple of key things that we're always referring to when we're answering listener questions is, you know, what's your spending plan look like? Well, how does your income and your expenses, how do they match up in retirement? I think it's really important, Rob, to just remind folks, the idea here is not to create the perfect plan. There's really no such thing as a perfect plan, and very few plans are even going to survive their first point of contact with the real world. You're always going to have to make adjustments, but the planning process is essential, and that's really the key, to be looking at these things, aware of the variables, and making proactive changes before you get into some kind of a problem. A person without any kind of a plan is really just hoping, they're guessing, assuming things are going to turn out okay. But a person with a plan, and ideally, again, a plan that's bathed in prayer, built on a foundation of biblical principles, well, that's a person who's more likely than not to be found faithful.
Yeah. And Mark, when you have a plan, especially as it relates to investing, it keeps you from perhaps being tossed around by the news of the day and the most recent market volatility, and allows you to stay focused on why you're investing, your time horizon, and your strategy, right?
Oh, 100%. You know, the challenge as an investor is we're always driving forward. We're looking through the windshield, but all of the information we have is coming from the rearview mirror. And so we spend a ton of time looking at history to inform us what the likelihoods are, what the parameters are likely to be. But at the same time, we've got to be aware we're always moving forward. Things are always changing as we move. And so it is kind of this interactive thing. It's really not usually just a one-time set it and forget it. But that's that planning process again. Create a good plan that you can lock into, and then hopefully you can just make very minor corrections and adjustments as you go forward.
Back with Mark Biller with one more segment. Your questions at 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned, and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano for AFA at the Ark, a special trip to Answers in Genesis Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, October 31st through November 2nd. You'll tour the exhibits like you would expect, but that's just the beginning. Deepen your knowledge with presentations from special speakers and a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Head to afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark. afa.net/events. Click AFA at the Ark.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions this segment for Mark Biller. If you have questions on the market, the economy, your portfolio, we'd love to hear from you. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. That is 800-525-7000. Mark, let's turn the corner and talk about the market for a moment. Obviously, the market had been under quite a bit of pressure recently, and more in the last few days, at least, we've seen a lot of strength on the upside. Do you feel like a lot of that is as a result of this most recent inflation reading, or is there a lot more to it?
Yeah, you know, it's always tricky, Rob, to interpret the short-term tea leaves. Even after the fact, there are usually about 11 explanations for every market move in the short term. Sure. One thing, though, that I have been noticing and have mentioned a couple times to SMI readers this year is there is kind of a typical election year seasonality pattern that we see over time. And not every election year lines up with that, of course, but one thing that's been interesting as we've been tracking that is that it seems as if this year most of the big market inflections have kind of been front-running the typical election time frame. In other words, you might expect something to happen, you know, in the summer, and that happened in the spring, and what we would normally anticipate in the fall has happened in the summer. And so an example of that is that very often during election years, we see the market be pretty weak in August and September, really even into October, and then just zoom out of the election and race higher into year end. Well, in keeping with this idea that the market has been kind of front-running these moves all along this year, you know, we had that big borderline, very short, but borderline panicky moment there at the end of July, early August.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was the Japanese market and some really weird things, but also our U.S. markets really wobbled there for about 3 days. Took the NASDAQ down in double figures. Those are the most popular tech stocks. The S&P 500 was down about 8.5%. So it was significant. And it was just interesting to me, having already noted that pattern, that this was, you know, a month or two earlier than we would normally expect that very type of move. So it just kind of has me thinking, well, maybe that was it. And now as we're getting the stronger recovery, that too could be kind of front-running that normal pattern. Of course, against that, Rob, the usual disclaimers of short-term market moves are almost just fruitless trying to predict, but also the fact that September does tend to be the weakest month for U.S. stocks historically. So, you know, I would not take anything I just said as license to go, you know, get crazy and put on lots of stock trades and leverage up or anything like that.
Sure.
But it does kind of give a little bit of flavor to what we've been seeing over these summer months, which are often kind of dull, but have not been dull this year.
Yeah, very good. I think it's a helpful analysis. All right, let's go to the phones. By the way, we have a few lines open. We're taking your questions, at least for this portion of the broadcast, on investing-related topics for Mark Biller, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Jeff is in Texas. Jeff, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was wanting to get your take on these various companies that advertise for people to protect their assets by putting their money in gold, particularly like with the IRA, you know, for the tax benefits, obviously. There just is that if the economy and everything else, if the government goes south, then your assets will still be protected. But the skeptical side of me is wondering, is that really true? Because it seems like if somebody else is really holding the purse strings, you know, what's to keep them, what's to keep either the government from seizing whatever they have or them just flying the coop? Do I have a legitimate concern or...
Yeah, it's a great question. And clearly, Mark, we hear, we see an increase, a dramatic increase in the number of advertisements for gold IRAs whenever uncertainty and volatility is on the rise. But how would you help Jeff think through this?
Yeah, Jeff, I would approach this through two different prongs because I have a very positive view of gold right now overall, as it relates to people having a reasonable, and by reasonable, I usually am thinking 5 to maybe 10% type of portfolio allocation. I think that's a very reasonable amount to hold in gold. And we've written a lot on gold at SMI. So if you just go to our website in the search box and type in gold, you'll find a number of articles there. But I also share your skepticism, Jeff, when I see these types of commercials, and that's because owning gold does not necessarily mean that I want to own that person's version of gold that they're marketing to me. And a lot of those are pretty expensive ways to own gold. They're usually pitching a specific product, of course, and I usually am not all that enamored with those products. There are very inexpensive ways to have exposure to gold. If you want to do that like through an IRA, you can buy the ETFs that track gold. There's GLD, there's PHYS. Those are a couple of the big ETFs that you can get gold exposure and own gold that way in an investment account. And of course, we talk from time to time about owning physical gold. And when you do that, you're typically trying to get the lowest markup, the lowest premium that you have to pay over the spot price of gold that you can find on the internet every single day. And different dealers will charge different markups. And that's where buying it from the commercial on TV can cost you a lot more money than just doing a simple, you know, web search or finding an article on SMI where we recommend a few places you might be able to buy gold with a lower markup cost. At the end of the day, they call it a commodity because it's interchangeable. It's the same whether you buy it here or there. So get your gold at low cost and avoid those big markups.
Back with Mark Biller for one more segment after this. Stick around.
Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are His hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
The AFA Resource Center is a one-stop shop to find tools that will help you grow in your relationship with God. We've also got items to help others find out about the ministries of AFA, like the AFR trucker hat. We're talking a very stylish six-panel meshback hat with the AFR logo made out of brown leather. It's fully adjustable to fit just about anyone, so get yours today at resources.afa.net. Resources.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. With me during this segment, Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. You can learn more about where we started today. It's the article titled Watching, Waiting, Planning, Working, thinking about our role as stewards in light of the anticipation of Christ's return. That's available for you to read at soundmindinvesting.org. Again, that's soundmindinvesting.org. Here in our last segment with Mark Biller, we'd love to take your questions on anything related to investing and the market, your portfolio, perhaps even the economy. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Mark, just picking up where we left off before the break, you were talking about the ways to buy gold, and I think you raise a great point, and that is you can have exposure to gold, whether that's physical gold that you buy yourself, something as simple as buying it from Costco or somewhere else, mm-hmm. or you can buy it through a tracker ETF, and you don't have to move your portfolio to a gold IRA custodian, which tends to be more costly, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Plus, it locks you in. You know, if you move it to a custodian like that, you have one option, and that's gold. And so that's not always appealing for folks. I definitely understand that the way we do it at SMI isn't going to work for everyone. But as I've mentioned before, what we typically tell our members to do is if they want to have a physical precious metals allocation, gold or gold and silver, to go ahead and do that, own their physical gold, have that on hand, and that should be thought of really as we're probably never selling this. This is something we're hoping to pass on from generation to generation, assuming we don't have some kind of a crisis where we really need it. And that's really that insurance component, which is why most people want some physical metal in the first place if they do. And then on top of that, so we keep that allocation fairly small, maybe 5% or even less of a portfolio. And then what we do at SMI is we have a specific strategy that historically has given pretty good signals on when is a good time to have more gold exposure and when is not. If you look at a long-term chart of gold or a chart of gold versus stocks, what you see is, of course, there's a lot of short-term variation, but you actually see a lot of long-term trending moves higher, trending moves lower. And that means that a trend following strategy, which is the type that we like the most at SMI to begin with, can actually help identify when we want to add to a gold allocation and when we want to trim that back. And so we will use those ETFs through people's brokerage accounts to add that additional exposure, but then it's really easy to take that exposure off when gold demonstrates it's no longer in a productive upturn trend. So I know it's a little much for a lot of people, but it is nice to know, it's good to know for people that there are options both within their brokerage accounts where people have trouble figuring out, how do I own gold if I can't buy coins? Or, you know, you have these two different options. The physical market is different from what you might want to do in your brokerage account or your IRA account.
Yeah, very good. That's really helpful. 800-525-7000. Mark Biller with us today. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Thank you for your all your service to all of us. I appreciate that.
And, yes, ma'am.
And especially, I listen every morning for your comments on the biblical, how to do our finances in a biblical way. Thank you. The issue I have is I have a local bank. It's a standalone bank I've had for like 30 years, and all of a sudden they on their doing the business on them online, because I live 50 miles from town. I want to do the business online. They put stipulations and rules. They put a rule. These are new. You can only deposit a $2,500 check, and it's like only three checks per month. And then so only $10,000 a year or something. And I tried to get back up on there this morning to get that itemized list, and I could not find it. And I called them and they wouldn't give it to me. But I'm concerned about knowing about the failures of these big banks. What about these little banks? Are they getting more different rules from the government that's causing them to do these things? I don't know whether I should switch banks.
Yeah. Well, just a general thought on that. I'll get Mark to weigh in as well. You know, banks do tend to have limits on mobile deposits, and the reason they do that is to reduce the risk of fraud or illegal activity. And so it's going to vary bank to bank. And so that would be something you might want to check with. The way around that is to obviously visit a branch or even an ATM where the limit might be higher. But I realize that's more challenging because you're 50 miles away. What you may want to look at is there an ATM in the network that's closer to you than the branch that would allow you to get that monthly deposit limit up beyond what's available in their mobile app, let's say. But it's not around necessarily an indication that there's some issue with the bank. It really is just a fraud prevention strategy. But Mark, any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, Diane, I have not heard anything recently that would cause me any concern. I agree exactly with what Rob just said. I think, you know, the simplest way, if you need higher limits for mobile transactions, the simplest way would actually be to open another account with another bank, which would allow you to basically double up on that type of transaction activity. And you might even keep the bulk of your money right where it's always been at this bank, but now you have a secondary account somewhere that allows you a little more flexibility. So that might be one option, as opposed to having to close your relationship that you've had for 30 years. You could just supplement that with another smaller account. But I agree with Rob. I think that probably the first thing is to go talk to them about that. And if you can't figure that out with them in person, then maybe it's time to look for a secondary kind of backup account that you can use.
Yeah, very good. Thank you for your call, Diane, and for your kind remarks about the program. We appreciate you being a faithful listener. Mark, as we think about, while we're on the topic of banking products, we think about where we're likely headed as soon as next month with interest rates. We're probably going to see these really attractive CD rates beginning to come down. How should we think about using these for, let's say, I'll call it short-term money, money that we're going to need in, 1 to 3 years? Is this still a good time to kind of lock in those CDs? And if we have a time horizon 5 years plus, should we really be thinking more about stocks and bonds, even with some of these CD rates still where they are today?
Yeah, I would personally hesitate to lock in CDs beyond 5 years, just because it is, if you think about where we were 5 years ago in terms of interest rates, we have had dramatic changes since then. So the idea of pinning myself to today's interest rate for that long a period of time, I know it's really difficult for people to imagine rates going substantially higher than they are right now, but we would have said exactly the same thing if we were having this conversation 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly
here we
right.
are.
Well, he's Mark Biller. Mark, always appreciate our time with you, my friend. Folks, check out soundmindinvesting.org. That's soundmindinvesting.org. We'll be right back.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment, we'll be taking your calls on anything financial. We've got room for maybe one more question beyond those that are holding, 800-525-7000. You know, folks, as you think about it, money is one of God's good creations. We don't ever want to slip into this thinking that money is bad or evil. Remember, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, but money and all that has been entrusted to us is a good creation from God. And we have this responsibility to take and use God's good creation for His glory. Now, the problem comes in when we worship the creation, money, over the Creator. And that's where things can go awry. And we see very clearly in Scripture that we can't serve God and money. So we serve God, making Him our ultimate treasure. And then we work hard as unto the Lord to cultivate and keep God's creation, being productive and taking the blessing. Remember, it's the privilege that we have. Even the power to create wealth comes from God Himself. And then we use that for His glory when we provide for our families and we give generously to those in need and for gospel work. And even when we invest and deploy God's capital into companies that are blessing mankind and creating human flourishing, and that source of capital to these companies is then the engine for business that has the ability to bless the world and improve the quality of life for people literally across the globe. That's the opportunity we have, but we do need to be on our guard that it never competes with God for His rightful place in first position in our lives. That's what we want to do each day on this program. Keep that in the background at the foundation of everything we talk about, and then build on that with those practical ideas we find in God's Word that relate to the actual financial decisions you're making every day. Let's take a few of those questions right now related to those decisions you're making, and we'll head to Texas and welcome Tina to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have, my mom has a house and I'm helping her manage it. And she's ill right now. She's not able to do it, but it's vacant right now. And we just come to the house during the Christmas. But it's been recommended that we use it maybe as an Airbnb. We have a pool here and it's near the airport, or rent it out, because I've been advised from by a person who said that it's not good for insurance purposes to leave the house vacant, and plus we could use the income because it's expensive to maintain it. So my question is it better to maybe go the Airbnb route or just rent it out? I'm kind of nervous about the Airbnb because I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, very good. I would say, my preference would be toward renting it out if you have the right time horizon. How long do you feel like you would be able to sign a lease and know that you're not going to need the property?
Oh, I think it'll be a while.
Okay. All right.
My mom has dementia, so we were going to use some of the money for her care.
Okay.
For home care. So it'll be a while. It's sentimental for us.
Sure.
We grew up here as children, so we are not interested in selling it right now. We didn't think the market was good anyway.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. So I think the decision really needs to balance the potential income with the time and the effort you can realistically invest in property management. And, considering your situation 30 minutes away, having, plenty on your plate with regard to your own life and your mom's care, not only that, but managing the property and wanting to avoid leaving it vacant, I think a long-term rental might be more suitable in this case. Doesn't mean you can't make plenty of money with an Airbnb. A lot of folks do that very effectively, but a long-term rental would likely require less day-to-day management with more stable income, which is really what you're looking for, so you can focus on other responsibilities. Now, the only reason why you may want to consider an Airbnb, if you can give it the time and attention that it needs, is if you're in a high-demand area for short-term rentals and you have the capacity to do it. Because here's the reality is, with an Airbnb-type rental, there's going to be a lot more frequent turnover. That means more cleaning, a lot of guest communication as you're communicating with people coming and going. And that's just going to create a lot more in the way of ongoing management. But depending on the area that you're in, there could be higher income, although that's not guaranteed. So I would say, unless you've got the time and reason to believe that your area would lend itself to more of the short-term, vacation-type rentals, and you don't have any restrictions that would be prohibiting you from doing that in terms of local laws and regulations, then I think in your situation, the longer-term rental income with less overhead and a consistent, amount of income coming in every month would likely be ideal. Does that make sense, though?
It does make sense. It is fully furnished. So would you suggest we just sell off the furniture that's inside?
I would probably talk to a local realtor, but likely, you may want to try to at least rent it out furnished, because that's going to offer more appeal for a certain type of renter. Now, others that are doing a long-term rental are likely going to want to come in and put their own, furniture in there and make it their own. But you could start by just seeing if there's some folks that would want to rent it furnished. If not, then yes, you would likely just want to sell that off and try to recoup as much as you can, maybe do an estate sale or something like that, and then, get into a long-term rental after that. But I think getting a realtor in there to just kind of help you think through all of that, what to price it at, you might want to pay them for their time to do kind of a comparative market analysis. And then you could even hire a property manager, although that's going to take about 10% generally of your monthly income, but then you wouldn't have to deal with the calls in the middle of the night and the marketing and the cleaning and, all of the maintenance that comes with managing a rental. Although if you get a good, long-term renter that's going to take care of it, that may be an unnecessary expense.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate the information.
You're very welcome. God bless you, Tina. You sound like a wonderful daughter caring for your mom. I know that pleases the Lord. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Yes, sir. Well, my question was, I have a financial advisor, and I'm doing well with the financial advisor, but in the past, I've heard where the Democrats, well, really, I guess both Democrats and Republicans, but mainly Democrats, have been wanting to come after the baby boomers with, say, with 401ks and possibly pension funds. So after this election, if the Democrats go back in, what's some alternative to do to keep them from possibly getting it all or whatever I can do?
Yes. You know, I wouldn't be concerned about that personally. You know, there are very clear laws on the book that it's called ERISA that protect retirement accounts. I mean, in terms of there being a likelihood of seizure, you know, apart from some situation like, you know, where you're delinquent on income taxes or criminal fines or, you know, child support or a domestic relations order with a divorce. I mean, apart from that, you know, I think anything else you're hearing about the government taking your retirement savings is likely coming from folks who are doing some fear mongering. You know, the ERISA laws protect you from any kind of seizure. And I think, you know, there is so much concern in among a certain, you know, a major portion of Congress around this. And it would be a very unpopular decision if they ever got anywhere close to this, you know, that would result in, you know, folks being voted out of office. And so I wouldn't be concerned about that, Joe. You know, the last thing I'd want you to do is pull all your money out of your retirement account and pay a huge penalty and lots of taxes and then not be in a tax deferred environment for it to continue to grow. You know, given the situation here, I think your very best bet is to keep your lifestyle as modest as you can, continue faithfully contributing to those retirement accounts, put it in a well-diversified portfolio that's consistent with your age and objectives, and do that for a long, long time. And, you know, I think that's the very best move you can make personally.
All right. Sounds good. I do. Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. Let's go to Missouri. Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Appreciate your call.
I like your program.
Thank
my
you.
Question, my comment may not be, I don't know, I'm in my 70s, I'm retired, I don't have much money saved, I'm divorced, and sure my income goes for alimony, but what I'm wondering about in my age is I have a good enough income, I'm wanting to try to balance things, save money for emergencies, and then at the same time, I want to start giving more to the Lord's work because I believe that that's a better reward given to the Lord's work than saving a bunch of money down here.
Wow.
Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense, Dennis, and I'm delighted you got on the program today because I can't think of a better way to finish our program today than to say, you know what? We have to realize that, yes, God entrusts his good gift of wealth and resources to us for our enjoyment and for provision of our family, but I would say even bigger than that is our opportunity to hold it loosely and give it generously and send it on ahead and get it into circulation into God's economy and holding on to everything God gives us and waiting to give a death, I don't believe is the right way to go. I think we should always actively be looking for ways to get what God has entrusted to us into circulation in God's economy, to bless others and to spread the gospel. And I think you're right on, my friend. So I would say yes, yes, and yes. You go for that and let's see what the Lord does. Thanks for being on the program and for your kind remarks today. Lord bless you. Well, folks, a big thanks to my team today. We're delighted to have you along with us today. And we'll see you next time. Thanks to Devin and Taylor and Pat. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.